Welcome to the Finding the Magic podcast, where books come alive. I'm Tricia Copeland, a fiction author and host of this show. If you love books, finding great reads, and hearing about the story behind the story directly from the authors, this is the place for you. Whether you like fantasy, science fiction, dystopian, or romance titles, I think you'll find something to love in my playlist. Listen in to discover something magical about a book or two today.
Welcome, Callie.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Well, thanks for being here. Today we have YA fairy tale fantasy author. I will call you Callie Thomas. So excited to hear all about your books. I hear you had a new release last week.
Yes, I had a new book come out on Friday. It's my Phantom of the Opera / Jekyll and Hyde combo. And so it's part of the Sacrificed Heart series. So it's a clean romance, fantasy romance, where we all have the same theme, overarching theme of sacrificing a maiden to a monster, but it's really kind of cool because we all went about it a different way. Some have done dragons, some have done islands and fiery phoenixes, and one's like a labyrinth. And so mine is Phantom of the Opera. But yes, that's been the big new release on Friday, and it's been so much fun. Thanks for asking.
Yeah. So is that a full-length novel? Is it a short story in an anthology? How does that work?
It's in between. So we originally started it as a novella, and then we were like, this is getting out of control. And so we actually moved it to a short novel. So it's in between. So for fantasy books can be kind of big because we've got a lot of world building to do. So we're around the 60,000 word mark. So it's a pretty good note. I mean, compared to like a rom-com or something that's normally about 50,000. So it's still a pretty decent amount of book.
Yeah, fun. And so is each book released separately in the series by the different authors? Is that how it works?
Yes. So each book is, each author is releasing one a week. And so I'm the third book. So I'm like the halfway point. Woo! So each book, the world is based off of their own author world. So it's not really connected. It's just the theme. But so we're doing one each week. And I think this week is Deborah Grace White's turn. So hers is on Friday. So it's every Friday. And hers is The Island of Secrets and Sacrifice. So you'll catch that sacrifice word on the end of all of our books that ties us together.
Right. Fun. And so is your... You said it's related to the themes that you've done before or the worlds you've done before. Is it one of your other series?
Yeah. So I have the world of Hanala, which is my backwards fairy tale world. And this one is because they were trying to place it because a lot of my readers are like, so where's this at? But I don't think they've noticed there's actually a small island in the like top northwest corner of my map. And so that's where this book takes place because I wanted it to be a standalone so that it wasn't a requirement that you had to read any of my other books first. I think you could go in and get a little taste of this kind of magical world and how things are set up. And so I think it's been going really well. But you know, it's all part of the backwards fairy tales world.
Oh, fun. Yeah. And that's kind of a bonus for people who have already read your work too.
Yes, I love including like little Easter eggs in all of my books. So if you've like read one and you've read another one, there's going to be something in each one where it's like, oh, I remember that from. Yeah.
Fine. Well, tell us about your world then.
Well, it's a typical, I guess, fantasy world where in the first book, A Forest of Stolen Memories, you kind of start off where the main character Rose, she has been cursed to forget. She has amnesia, I guess I would say, but it's really a curse where she doesn't remember, and you immediately start off with her and she doesn't know what's going on and she's being forced to marry a prince. And so I took it as, like I said, the backwards part of the world where I wanted the end of the story to be the beginning. And so I was like, what if this princess or person you don't really know, would she choose Prince Charming if she had to do it all over again? If she had her slate wiped clean you know, what would happen? And so her response to everything is just fun. But it has a typical magical world with an enchanted forest, mermaids off in the sea. There's different types of magic in each. There's five different territories and each one is distinctively different. And they all have gifts that they make them special. And so it was really fun because I think like each book, I kind of touch a little bit more on each different area. So you kind of get to know slowly. So it's not just like whoosh, you know, you get everything right now. So it's nice kind of like dabbling in it. I actually started this world, these books through a serial platform. Through Kindlevella. And so I was releasing them because I had only planned to write the first one through Rose's story. And then as I continue on, because I'm not really a planner, I'm more of like, I have an idea and I just go with it. That I was like, ooh, there's so much more to tap here. Like there's more like, you know, she has a sister and where did her sisters disappeared? Where is she at? And so, you know, there's just so much more that I didn't realize until I continued to write it.
Okay, so it's not on Kindlevella now. It's in novel form?
It's in both. So, you can still find it on Kindlevella, the original, because once I took it off of Kindlevella to move it to paperback and Kindle Unlimited, I wanted to make sure that it read smooth because serial fiction is a little bit different. You're getting episodes like once a week kind of, and I have to remind the reader because sometimes, like I want to say Rose took almost a whole 3/4 of a year to write. So I was releasing an episode, sometimes two a week, where you're reading bits, like a chapter a week. And then the second book, I have it starting right afterwards. That took me a whole year to write. So it's just a different type of formatting. So I did clean it up and so it's a little bit different, but a lot of the stuff when I was writing before Stolen Memories and, Sea of Golden Chains, I pulled the readers and let them add things to the book. So it was kind of cool. Like actually the name Hanala, I had them vote on. So I had four different names for the world and they got to, and this is what they picked. It actually was pretty unanimous. It was kind of nice, made it easy. But I did other things like, you know, sometimes it'd be like a character's name or like pick an object to put in the book and then it like would reflect, you know, further on down the story. So that was kind of fun. A little bit challenging for me too.
Yeah. Well, I like those challenges too. And those are so fun to involve your readers. I let my readers pick my last like male lead character names. And it was really fun to see, you know, how the names that they picked and yeah, yes. And it's challenging for me to come up with a personality that sounded like those names.
Mm-hmm. I think they really like being involved too, which is kind of cool because, you know, they're like, oh, that's the one I voted on or whatever. It kind of makes them feel like they're part of the story too, which is really cool because I like their excitement about my work too.
That's the funnest part to me. Yeah. Like talking about it with other people who enjoy the world or. And I would never say any magical world is difficult because I've talked to, I guess in the past 3 weeks, I've talked to like two other writers that have magic worlds and mm-hmm. both of them are all three of yours is all very different. I mean, obviously yeah. It's magic, but it's a different system. It's based on different factors and you get yep. your powers different ways. So I will never say any magical world is typical.
Yeah, it's hard because like when I think about it, I'm like, you know, it's just the usual magic, you know, but I mean, when you dive down deeper, when you think about like class systems and like, you know, how everything is like the rules of the world and how the magic works. And, you know, yes, there are, you know, weird flowers that grow in the forest and do this stuff. You know what I mean? Like there's little details you can add to make each one unique. But it's kind of, I like it. I like the challenge of being that, making it unique, making it your own world for real.
So The Forest of Secrets is the first book in the series. What is the second book?
Yeah, the first, Forest of Stolen Memories is the first
one. Memories, sorry.
Yes. And the second one is The Sea of Golden Chains, which is about her sister. And so that one is in the ocean. It's half in the ocean, half on land. And so that one is has a merman in it. And so that one is my reverse Little Mermaid story.
So, and it's reverse in the fact that the ending is the beginning and the beginning is the end. Is that how the reverse
sort of. So her end is she's dying. So they've thrown her overboard into the water and she's drowning, and she's actually rescued by a merman. So her end is her beginning. And so she makes, I guess, a vow. And she doesn't realize what that vow means, what the entailment of that is. And so I don't want to ruin it, but so that's what happens. And so she's mostly fighting her destiny of what she's been chosen to do, because she wants to go home and she wants to see her family. And so it's a hard pull for her, you know, having like two wants and knowing, you know, they're both reasonable, right, about what she wants. And so I think it's a really cute story. It's actually my biggest story, because the merman's very popular. He's I feel like he should come with a warning label, because everybody's like, I can't read any other guy right now because I met Riken and now nothing else matters. And I'm like, okay, he needs to just chill. yeah, so that story went the longest. And so I want to say that was well over, like, I think 155,000 words. And wow. So, but like I said, you don't realize when you're writing it serial, like how far you're just writing. I'm just writing an episode a week. And then at the end, I'm like, oh my goodness, as I put them all together, like, that's a lot of words. And so I had to do like a tough call. I guess that's one of the good things about being an indie author. You're not as strict in how you publish things, like, you are in charge. And, you know, I know that in a fantasy book, especially YA fantasy, they don't want, that would be too big. They would want me to cut that out. And I was able to, because I was the boss, keep it the length that I wanted, because I wanted the people that had read it via Kindlevella to have the whole book. I don't feel like that they should be punished for, you know, what this society says how big a book should be for a YA fantasy. So yeah, so if you buy that one, that thing is a chunk. I call it a weapon and a book because it is so big.
That is super fun. Yeah, I can't imagine putting out, like, I've looked at doing Kindlevella before, but I can't imagine. I would just get worried that somewhere down the line I would mess something up and it not end up right in the end. Do you like plan out what you're going to do each week so you know that everything's going to fit in with each other?
The correct answer should be yes, but I don't. I know the right answer here, and that's not what I do. I really am the biggest pantser ever. I just, like I said, I have maybe minor before I start a story, like I call them like little milestone, little guide points along the way. Like, I know I need to get here and I know I need to get to this point, but I don't know what happens. I don't know how to get there. I just know that eventually that's the goal I need to get from A to B. And so as I'm writing, I try to make sure that I'm staying on that, you know, that line right there. Make sure that we're not going backwards, we're not running off into the jungle, we are going to where we need to go. And so sometimes it changes. So in Force of Stolen Memories, I had this whole scene planned out with like this collapsing bridge, and they didn't even go over there. They didn't even like, and I can always tell, like, with my characters when I write, if I'm trying to force them into a plot, it is like immediately all of my words dry up. I cannot, like, because they're like, that's not what's happening. That's not what, that's how the story goes. And so that's usually how I can tell. People always ask, like, what do you do when you get into like writer's block? And I'm like, it's because I forced something and I need to back up and start at a different point and try again. But yeah, there's a lot of scenes like that. So I have a very lightly, I don't even want to say an outline because I really don't know, just those little bullet points. And sometimes I don't even hit them. So.
Well, and that's how I write too. I know the ending of my book and where I want it to be at the end, but it's fun for me to like figure out the middle and what the characters are supposed to be doing. So I think, yeah.
Yeah. It is harder for Kindlevella though, because I have done that before. Cause I like to add in details. I'm a detail, like adding those little Easter eggs in. And then I'm like, ooh, you know, that one, this detail that is happening now would have been great in chapter two as like a foreshadow, but it's too late. I can't add that in. Like, right. And so writing this book was nice, the Mask of Deception and Sacrifice, because I wasn't doing it via Kindle Vella. I was doing it just for this collab, and I had like, I could go back and I could change that and I could add more detail, more foreshadowing. And I also went back through, because like I said, it was a Phantom of the Opera vibe. It's not an actual retelling. I don't want you to think it's an opera themed. But I went back through and I made sure to add a couple of my favorite lines from Phantom, because I'm a big Phantom fan. Today, I think, is actually International World Theater Day, as a side note. Yeah, I know, random fact. Okay, so, but yeah, I wanted to add in a few. I don't know if you are a musical fan, but yes, I added a few lines in from the musical.
That's very cool. Yeah, I'm sure a lot of the Phantom of the Opera fans will love that. I don't do that many musicals. My husband refuses to go, so I've been to a few with my friends, but not that one.
You need to make it a priority. Next one.
I will put it on my list. Okay, so there are two books in the backward fairy tale retellings. Are there, you've named two, are there more to come or are there more already?
Well, their story is kind of complete. I had, like I said, I had made it really just for Rose at the beginning, but then once I started writing her story and I realized that her main focus was finding her sister, then it became a two book. So it's really a duology. And from there, I have other people from their story that have their own book or storyline that I may possibly want to write. I know I have a few readers that are like, you will write this. But it's not part of the main story. So I probably wouldn't call it like, as it would be like a, I won't even want to say standalone, because you would kind of have to know the main characters. But yeah, it would be part of the world, but not part of the main story. So I like Jackie and the Twisted Beanstalk is also in the Nala world, but it's in the past. So she's actually a relation to Rose and Marigold. And so it has a little bit. So hers is a gender flipped Jack and the Beanstalk retelling. And so, but she, that, so it's the same thing. So you get to see a little bit how magic was in the past and how it's actually, it was forbidden and banned. And you learn a little bit more about like the history. And it also has a lot of foreshadowing of what's to come with the main story. But yes, the, I think there'll be more. I don't want to say, I hate committing to something. And then, I mean, I actually have plans to start doing some rom-coms this year. That was my kind of my main focus is fantasy, like writing fantasy worlds is a little bit harder because there's so much backstory and stuff you have to do. And it's actually, it's kind of like a palate cleanser for rom-coms. So, you know, if that makes sense.
No, it does. I do the same thing. I write a fantasy, then I write a romance, write a fantasy, a romance. I switch back and forth. So I totally get that.
Yeah, I wrote one, or I was starting to write one, and I was like, wow, this is going really fast. Like, this is insanely fast compared to like what I'm used to writing. Cause I'm like, okay, I need to like more detail, more description here. And I'm like, I don't need to describe a car. You know what a car is. I know what a car is. We don't need to talk about it.
I find writing rom-com, because, and maybe I just can't write romance just for the sake of the romance. There has to be more character development and a little bit of meat there for me. Yes. So I find it almost equally as challenging in that. Have you released a rom-com yet?
I wrote, I'd say about a half of a rom-com. And like I said, this whole world has been, everybody, that's what they want. So I'm like, I'd like to do this. And they're like, no, get back into that fairy tale land. Okay. But I wrote half, and I think it was just because of the description, like, cause you have to do all that world. That's probably what takes me the hardest. Sometimes I'll leave while I'm writing, I'll be like, I know I need some detail right here. So I want to just leave myself a little note, come back, fill this in here, make sure that it's, cause otherwise I'll stop and I'll, and I, if I'm in a good flow, I don't want to ruin that. But I liked the silliness, because normally my fantasy can be a little bit, I mean, has some some funny moments, but it can be lean towards serious. Okay. And so I liked that the rom-com was like that cheesy Hallmark, like moments where it's like, I'm going to put you in every worst case scenario just to make myself smile. So, I pitched it to Hallmark, cause I was like, I don't know if I want to do traditional publishing, because it leaves you with a lot of restrictions. And I mean, already with Kindle Vella, there's a lot of restrictions that I have moving things out of Kindle Vella. And but I didn't get accepted. I think their publishing company dissolved, but so it ended up working out. But yeah, so I have about a half going, but that's my plan for this year, because I have another publisher interested in it. So,
oh, cool. Congratulations. So will this, are your fantasy retellings, are they adults or young adults? I know you're a clean writer, but yes. Are they adult characters or are they young adult characters?
They're young adults. Young. I would say they're between usually like 16 and 18. Some of them are higher up on like 18. Especially like the last one, the last two I did, of Sea of Golden Chains and Mask of Deception and Sacrifice. They're definitely, I put them both at the end of the YA spectrum because they touch on a little bit more. It was a little bit harder because, like I said, with the merman, he's a little animalistic with like his, because he's not human. And so I was like, okay, I got to bump you up because you are not cooperating. And the mask just has a lot of, she's imprisoned. And so there's a lot of darker moments for her to, and so I just think mentally it'd be better, like not middle grade, even though it's clean, there's nothing to be worried about. I just know that some of the stuff is just darker and they don't need that. They need happiness. So,
fun. And will your romance be more new adult age to them?
Yes. So it's bumping out of YA into new adult. And so, which will be fun because now they can have jobs. besides like, you know, being queen and all that stuff. But yeah, so it's going to be, because I was trying to push a little bit older, out of like closer to 30, and, see, this is part of being traditional. They wanted it to be more, to be younger. So I have to pull them, which isn't hard to do, making them like a couple years younger, but.
Yeah, no, that seems like, yeah. So how did you become an author? Is this your full-time gig or do you do something else too?
I've always been writing. I actually have a degree in web design and graphic design. Since I had kids, it was just, we ended up moving. My husband moves a lot. And so we moved to Guantanamo Bay and I just stopped working then. I just became like a full-time mom. And at that point, like without the challenge of like working all the time, I was like, the stories were like overtaking my mind. Like I needed to write. And so I was kind of writing a little bit, but I don't know if you have kids or whatnot, but writing with children is really hard. It's hard to juggle both of that and like trying to slip it in during nap times. And so I kind of gave myself a break and was like, don't even worry about it right now. Just focus on the kids, raise them. And then it went from when they started going to school that I was like, okay, now I have no excuse. I should be writing. And so I did one of those nanos when we moved to Japan. We were in Okinawa for 3 years and I did the nano and I met actually my editor, who's amazing and wonderful there. And I just was like, hey, what do you think? I've never published anything before. I've never had anybody read it. I'm like, is it garbage? She's like, it is not garbage. That was kind of like the beginning of like our duo. She's in Enchanted Inkwell. That's her company. And I just started, I actually started writing a YA contemporary for that nano, and that was The Captain's Daughter. And then as I wrote that for like 3 or 4 months, then Amazon announced Kindle Vella releasing, like, hey, it's coming out this summer. And I was like, oh, this is the perfect chance. Like, you know, get my foot in the door. I mean, it's a new way to write. And, you know, if no one's ever heard of me, it's not a big deal. We'll just, you know, not a big deal. And so I published on that, and it was just my mom reading for a little bit there. I love your episode. My mom's my number one fan. And then I think that was July, and then August, I started having people kind of start to reach out to me. September really picked up. I don't know what happened, but I really picked up in September on Kinovella. And then I think I was featured on Amazon for the Kinovella list in for Thanksgiving. And I was like, holy cow, what's happening? And, you know, and then it kind of just took off from there. And then once I finished Rose, I took a little break because we were moving back to the States. And then I started Marigold, and it was exciting to have all my readers return. And then I moved from there, from finishing Marigold to joining Claps, because I jumped into the book world, and the book world is like completely different than the serial fiction world. I mean, so it's like completely different authors that you talk to. So it was like I had to start back at from scratch when I started publishing books, and like meaning, because networking is such a big thing for writers. I mean, I think a lot of people come into writing thinking that like we're competitors, like we don't, you know what I mean? And it's not the case at all. It's like they're your best buds. Like when you get like a bad review, guess who I'm calling? I'm calling my author phone and being like, what did he say about me? You know, and so that's that, they understand you the best, because it isn't my husband. He doesn't know what's going on. He doesn't understand, you know, how all this works. But so it was interesting finding another, trying to find my place in the book world, like I had in the serial world. And so I feel like I'm finally like now getting my footing. It just takes forever. It's just patience, right?
Yeah, I think I felt like it was easier. So I started this podcast in 2020 because I was missing my author friends. And I thought, this is a way to talk to my author friends as well as do a podcast and get us out there, right? Mm-hmm. So yeah, because I would do two or three author cons and reader events a year. And that's how I met sort of that author family. My editor was already in that author family, you know, some author mm-hmm. families. And so that's how I met a lot of my author friends. But yeah, having 2020 and 2021, and it kind of drew me out of that. So yeah, I feel like now we're coming back together again more.
Yes. I'm actually like all the author events, like it wasn't, I think I really started like around the 2020 time too, like getting published. And I guess that COVID time gave everybody a chance to kind of reflect as you were stuck at home. But I want to be better about like getting out more and like doing those in-person events and signings. And I signed up for one for October, but I'm already like half nervous. I don't know why. Are all writers introverts? I don't know, but I'm like, oh my gosh.
I think a lot of us are, but you get us talking about our books and we can talk. So that's good.
As long as you just don't ask me for an elevator pitch, I'm usually pretty good.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And I come back at the end of one of those just completely exhausted and can't talk to anyone for a week. So, but they're fine. Well, awesome. It has been so great learning about you and your books. Tell everyone where we can find you as well as your books.
Okay. I'm on social media, probably Instagram more than anything. You can find me at Author Callie Thomas. That's my handle. And it's the same across all my platforms. I'm also on Facebook if you're looking for me there, or you can reach out and check my website at authorcallithomas.com.
Well, thank you so much for being here, Callie.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Yes, and happy National Theater Day.
Oh, yes. I shall go partake today.
Enjoy. Bye.
Bye.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of the Finding the Magic podcast. I'm your host, author and podcaster, Tricia Copeland, and I love getting behind the scenes. If you like the podcast, make sure to subscribe and stop in each week to discover new authors and books. Thanks for listening, and until next time, keep finding the magic.